is Lisa Horlander, and please don't drink the paint water. The podcast, conversations between artists about our work and other great advice to survive as an artist. This is Lisa Horlander, and today I'm talking with Jordan Roth with RO2 Gallery. Jordan operates RO2 Art, a Dallas-based contemporary fine art gallery he founded alongside his mother, Suzanne Roth Romans, in 2010. The gallery represents over 40 emerging to established artists working in a wide variety of media and has held more than 250 exhibitions to date. Jordan, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
I'm glad to have you on. Note to the listeners, Jordan has had a very exciting adventure with U-Hauls. Thank you so much for making time for us today.
Oh, you bet. So this is probably the first time you've done a podcast interview with someone sitting in a U-Haul.
Yeah, I have to say the acoustics are amazing. This is great.
Cool. Well, they're only $19.95, so you could let people know that that's an option for future podcasts.
Gaming.
Well, it more for using for podcasts, not for moving.
Oh,
is what I was going to say.
Oh, I see what you're saying. If you would like to be on my show, please be sitting in a U-Haul trailer.
Yeah. So for $19.95, you can upgrade your acoustics.
I like this idea. Yeah,
I would just try a couple hours ahead of time in case they have a computer glitch.
Oh my gosh. Oh well, I'm glad it worked out in the end, and hopefully it's smooth sailing from there. So I'm going to start things out. What would you prefer in your glass? So are you coffee or tea person?
Coffee.
Coffee. Awesome. Preferred brand?
I don't really have a preferred brand of coffee.
Okay. So you just coffee all the way? That's great.
Yeah. And with no sugar or cream or anything.
Oh, yes. Black all the way. I definitely agree with that. So we're shaking things up a little bit here. I usually am talking to an artist friend. You're basically an artist friend, but you're curating and you're making the art into an experience by using other people's arts to curate shows. What sparked your interest in art?
Well, initially, it happened at a very early age. My mom was an art gallerist as well, still is, because we run the gallery together, but she started in the 70s. So when I was a kid, we would have artists in and out of town and sometimes staying in the house and using the basement as a studio. And I would go to the shows and all of that. And in the back of my mind, I always thought, I might want to have an art gallery. And at first, coming out of college, I was kind of seduced by the high-tech thing, which I don't even think high-tech is an expression anymore, but it's just technology, and did that for a couple of years and hated it and took like a year off and then decided I wanted to be in the art business. So I worked for a couple of galleries and became director of those. And then finally, I was able to convince my mom that we needed to go into business. And there we were.
That's great. I'm glad you did.
Thank you. I have to say,
there's been some of the what's knocked my socks off comments have been recent shows y'all have had. Y'all have had some really amazing stuff lately.
Thank you.
So if you could go back and talk to that younger self, what would be a tip or trick you would recommend?
Go ahead and open a gallery earlier. Let's see. I would say do it your way. Mm. Don't pay too much attention to what the others are doing. The quicker you can find your way, the better off you'll be.
Mm.
And the rest of it, I guess, just use your intuition and, you know, try to define and, or not necessarily define, but try to work within an aesthetic that works for you and your artists.
That's a great way of saying it. It's just because there's a lot of different types of people doesn't mean what your one way isn't going to affect a whole bunch of different people. That's great.
Right. I mean, you can do something completely different from everyone else and you'll still find your audience.
That's great. So what have you just finished, or do you have a show currently up, or did it just end?
Ended on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And it was six artists that we just began showing. And then we also had a solo show for Scott Winterode. The artist, putting me on the spot to name six in alphabetical
order.
I'll
put them on the show notes, don't worry.
Okay, and then coming up this weekend, on the 23rd, we have Brooks Oliver and Josh Dodson in the front gallery and TJ Griffin in the back gallery.
That's exciting.
Super exciting.
Well, what's really exciting is I've actually, the last show that just closed, two of my episodes, I interviewed your artists. So that was pretty cool to, it's like tying in all the content that has been going on.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah. So I had Brantley and Kat. So that's going to be fun. I'm actually probably going to reach out to some of the others. Your watercolor artist that was up in the little solo gallery that just came down. His art I recommended to one of my art students because he's been doing watercolor landscapes. And when I walked in there, I was blown away. I was like, yeah, these are perfect for my student, like eighth grade kid who's just starting to figure out what he likes to make. So that was kind of
Scott Winterode's amazing. He's got his own style that's really expressive, and he tries to delve into like the abstract as much as possible and playing with negative space.
Yeah, I love positive and negative space too. So I was very drawn to his work. And my student, he just actually is about to enter a piece into Junior Vase, and it wasn't inspired by his work, but now the new work is. So that's kind of cool.
Oh, how cool!
Yeah,
so you have to, that's really cool.
You see him, please let him know.
I will.
Okay, I have some questions from our listeners. So I always ask them, what's something you would love to hear from an artist, or this time someone who's running a gallery? So I've got a couple of those. I usually answer those as well. And then I share them with the social media presence people. I share them with all my people on social media so that they can answer as well, and we can have a community. But my first question, what sparked your interest in art? Which is similar to what I asked earlier.
Yeah, initially, you know, I was interested in art, you know, from my background of growing up with a mom art dealer and meeting all the artists. But then also, I just have vague memories of making art when I was like in kindergarten and first grade. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it then, but then I didn't enjoy it after that, making art. But I really had a lot of fun. I went to a Montessori school the first, you know, part of my education, and they know how to teach art.
That's cool.
At the Montessori schools. And so I had a lot of fun doing that. And I think it solidified my love of art at an early, early age.
I like that. That's really encouraging, especially as a teacher, to hear that someone can spark someone's interest. Even if that's not what you pursued to be making yourself, it definitely changed your whole life path. That's exciting. For me, what sparked my interest in art was I am actually half deaf, and so like I don't have a left ear. And so for me, as a young age, I figured out that when I created art or drew something or I put something together, that really helped interact with other people in a way that I felt was a lot clearer, because I could talk, but obviously I had to take speech classes to communicate correctly. So for me, I just remember being really little and my family would come over and see what I was making, and we would talk about it and they'd get excited, and I felt like I actually had a connection with people that way. So I also was about to say this whole something about being 4 or 5 and starting to explore what you have in life.
Yeah, those were definitely pivotal ages for some people. Some people bloom a little later. I've had lots of blooming here and there since then. So anyway.
Wide variety of adventures.
Yeah.
Okay, the second question was, in your opinion and experience, how should an artist approach a prospective gallery, and how shouldn't they?
I would say that really, from a gallerist's point of view, if you want to please them and not get in the way, no matter how great of an artist you are, the first impression is super important, and you can kill that easily. So the best way, in my opinion, is to be introduced by somebody that the gallerist already knows.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it's at an opening, very briefly, and not necessarily, this is an artist I want you to talk to or anything, but this is my good friend so-and-so.
Yeah.
You know, is a nice way to kind of put a name with a face early on. And then if you don't have that opportunity, that's fine. It's good to submit information electronically by email with like everything kind of tied in a bow. I would select a series of work that you think would be particularly interesting to that gallery and limit it to that series, and limit it to maybe 3 to 5 images from that series, and then make sure that you have an artist statement that reflects the work in that series, and that you've got a complete bio, and that your CV is up to date. And then include all those things together, and you'd send an email to the gallerist. If you want to go that extra step, you can send a quick note or card saying that you've sent them an email. And I that would make an impression on me. And people have done that a couple times. And I mean, it makes me go back and check that email. So it's not a bad thing.
Networking.
But what I would say not to do is to talk about your work during an opening and someone else's opening, and not to just pop in, because you never know what's going on that particular day at the gallery, and it could be a really bad day, or you know, they're in the middle of something and they're going to associate you with whatever happened earlier that day or was going on at the time. So you just don't want to ever be that annoying person. Not that people are annoying, but you just don't want to be that person that got in the way or introduce their work at the wrong time.
Yeah.
It's about timing, and it's about being on the gallerist's time, if that makes any sense.
No, it does. It's basically networking, being thoughtful, being a good human being. And
yeah, and no matter what, like, I would keep that first, if you're networking and meet a gallerist that way, I would keep that first engagement really quick, you know, and pleasant, and knowing that they're really busy, but knowing that you can follow up after that.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't worry about that first meeting. They'll remember meeting you. In your email to them, you know, you write, oh, last Saturday or whatever, I met you with your artist so-and-so, and what a beautiful opening. I particularly liked this work, or, you know, whatever, and then tell them what work you liked, and then introduce your work. And there you go.
Thank you. That's really helpful for, I know that I took some notes from that, and I know the listeners were also as well. It's something I feel like in college is not always enforced as much as how to write an artist statement. And I think it needs to be, because people's skills and how to interact in the art world is 99% of the game.
It's a big part of it. I mean, that's for sure. A gallerist, if they meet you after having seen your face two or three times, it's even better, because it shows that you're interested in their program.
Yeah.
So it's good to get around to the different galleries. And another point of advice would be, definitely go around to the galleries and figure out what makes each gallery unique, and only apply to the galleries that you really feel that your work would fit in. So don't do the shotgun approach where you apply to like all 12 CAD galleries or something like that, because each one of them is different.
And it's just like every artist is going to fit in a different way too.
Yeah.
That's great. I appreciate it. Well, it's time for some art news, and we'll talk about what we've seen lately that knocked our socks off. So, Jordan, I know you are getting around to see a lot of art lately. What in particular has knocked your socks off?
About a week ago, I saw Cedric Huckabee's show at Tally Dunn, and it was pretty mind-blowing, I will say. He's doing these really breathtaking paintings paired with papier-mâché sculptures that are monumental, to say the least, on their own, and especially with the painting. There are only, I'd say, three painting and sculpture pairs, and then one individual large sculpture, and it's just like, it is pretty phenomenal.
I really want to go see that. I haven't gotten to see that one yet, and I also want to see, have you heard about it's his grandmother's house they've opened up as semi-art community museum type experience?
Yeah, he told me about that. That's really a really exciting thing. I saw a couple pictures on Leticia's phone, actually, too, and I really want to make it out there.
It's just a really cool opportunity to be able to see how their history is turning into an art in itself. I mean, they're such a power couple. I'm obsessed with Leticia's work, so.
And they, I believe they're putting images from, like, doing a virtual tour on, I can't remember the name of the platform, but you'll be able to view that gallery online.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Always looking for some opportunities to share stuff online with my students in class.
Matterport. That's the name of the platform they were using, actually.
That's awesome.
So that should be out there, like, in very short time. So your people in East Texas that can't make it to Dallas or Fort Worth very often could view it from home.
I love that about technology. We've talked about technology a few times now. Yay, how it connects us in many different ways.
Yeah.
I recently went and saw a Livia Block's installation at the Nasher Sculpture Center, and that was pretty exciting because I had stayed for the Harry Bertoia. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Bertoia? Yeah, Harry Bertoia's sound sculptures. I had I was there when they had the experience of playing it. I'm not sure how to even talk about that. It's not a performance and it's not a, you know, musical composition. But I got to hear the sculptures, and then I found out about Olivia's the installation. And you listeners, basically you went into a dark room and there's some lights. She has some projections of the different images on kind of the floor and the wall. And as you walk through the gallery space, you trigger some sensors that play the sounds of the sculptures. So she recorded all of the sculptures' sounds, and then you're interacting with this recorded memory of this artwork. It was pretty cool.
Now that you mentioned the Nasher, there's one other exhibition that I think people might miss that they should see, and it's across the street at the Crow.
Oh.
And it's Ju Young Choi. She's amazing. Mm. This exhibition is multi-layered and, like, really, it's kind of pop, kind of futurism, more futurism, but, like, really colorful. And it's another world, you know, like characters that are recurring in all the different paintings, and then video and puppets and all kinds of stuff. It's so much fun.
I totally didn't know that was going on. I'm going to check that out, too.
It just opened a few weeks ago, so okay. I'm guessing it'll be up for a little while. But the Crow shows tend to kind of go unnoticed occasionally. So this one, I think everyone should definitely see. It's so much fun.
I always love what they have in there, too. It's a neat space.
Yeah, just for sure.
Cool. I've got a couple questions, and then we'll end things out. So first of all, what is an online art community or resource you recommend? I usually try to give one at a time.
That's a really good question. I know that yesterday, Artwork Archive sent an email out that they send every quarter, I want to say, or maybe even every month, that gives the best art opportunities for that time period. And it's posted on their website.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday they blasted out information about like 10 different opportunities that were all zero submission fee and really like high profile.
Nice.
And I've noticed that with their site in particular over the couple years that I've seen it, that they're really generous with that information that, you know, you might otherwise have to really search for.
Yeah, that's not easy.
So that's a good one.
Those are hard to find. That's very helpful. I must have missed that in my email. We've talked about Artwork Archive a couple times in the podcast as well. They're amazing.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
Last question, where can people find out more about you and your gallery?
Best place would be to come to the gallery and check it out. Otherwise, we do have a website, rotuart.com, rotuart.com. We're pretty active on our Instagram, which is @rotuart. We try to keep up with Facebook @rotuart. And all of our inventory is available for you on Artsy, A-R-T-S-Y. And you just go there and you can like sort through it by size and price and all kinds of stuff. So those are some good resources to see the work.
That's great. I will definitely have links to all of that on the show notes so all of y'all can check this out and go shopping for some art, because you know you need some. And Jordan, thank you so much for being on here today.
Oh, you're welcome.
This is great.
Your son.
Good luck with the moving things, and I do appreciate you having time for us today. Have a great day.
You bet. Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening in. Thank you, podcasting wizards at TokiNet. If you want to start a podcast and sound amazing, I highly recommend you check them out. Don't forget, like this episode. It supports me and helps me make more podcasts. Also, check out the podcast's Instagram @DontDrinkPaintWaterPodcast. Yes, one word. To see pictures of what I've talked about and to leave your questions for my future guests. See you on the next episode of Don't Drink the Paint Water, the podcast.